It's the Brouhaha Podcast with Steve Jackson and Mark Carpenter.
Right now it's time for the Drive Brouhaha. Herlinda obviously is here, and also our great friends from the Earl Baum Center for the Blind, Bob Sonnenberg, is back with us with his really cool dog.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be back, so thank
you,
Steve.
It's great to see you. Do me a favor and recap your story about, I think you were driving to Sacramento, and all of a sudden you basically went blind.
You have a great memory. So I am fortunate enough to have a little bit of vision, and it really just happened just like that about 16 years ago, driving to Sacramento. All of a sudden, I couldn't see the freeway signs,
just like that.
It's just like that, and it's very similar to macular degeneration, but yeah. The diagnosis is myopic, so it just the focus, visual focus, is just not there, and it's a new world, a new way of living, and I'm very blessed that I do have some vision left. So.
Yeah, so you're wearing an eye patch on your left eye. Your right eye, you can see some stuff.
Right, and really my left eye, it really had very, very limited vision, and I wear that really just because it tends to wander, and it just makes the people that I'm communicating with feel more comfortable, so it's less distracting.
Yeah, women don't like a wandering eye.
Yeah. Thank you, Arlinda.
Sorry, I missed that. I was in the Bahamas for a minute there. I'm sorry, I missed that. Joining us on the phone, our great friend, Dr. Hobie Wedler from the Earl Baum Center for the Blind. Doc, how the hell are you, sir?
Oh, we're hanging in there, Steve. It's always great to hear your voice, which I do whenever you're on the air, but great, even better to talk to you. How are you?
I'm fine. I wish you were here, but I understand. To talk about, now, you've been blind since pretty much birth, right?
I've been blind since birth. Yep. Never been able to see. And, yeah.
It's an amazing story. Now, tell everyone about your history and what it is you do exactly.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. I was born in Petaluma. Well, born in Santa Rosa. Grew up in Petaluma all the way through regular education, through high school. Graduated from Petaluma High in 2005, and then went out to UC Davis and went there for my undergraduate and graduate careers in chemistry. Graduated with a chemistry graduate degree in 2016, and boomeranged right back to Petaluma, because who can stay away from Sonoma County? I don't know anyone who can in their right mind. Come on back and hang out here, and been running a company called SensePoint, which I'm the co-founder of, along with my good friends, Justin Blandingham, who's also in Petaluma, and Jody Tucker, who's based down in Adelaide, South Australia. And we really are a creative strategy firm focusing on all five senses as we design and build brand strategies. So that's really what we do. And the reason I'm not with you today is because I do a lot of work with my palate, a lot of product development in the areas of food and drink, and I rely pretty heavily on my nose. And what the medical community is finding, as you may hear, is that a lot of people lose their sense of smell when infected, but a percentage of that group, depending on circumstances, can lose it permanently. And, I just decided the phone was a viable method to connect with you all today, and I can't really afford to lose that one, so we're being careful.
Makes sense to me. Are you still living in Petaluma? I forget.
Of course. Yeah, Petaluma.
Okay. Cool.
Good old Petaluma.
And Bob Sonnenberg, give us, you told us about the drive to Sacramento when the sight loss occurred, but give us more of your background.
So my background is that I've always been a pretty entrepreneurial and love being involved in making a difference in people's lives, and I've been fortunate enough to be connected with the Earl Baum Center for the last 4 years, and I'm currently serving the position of as the president and CEO of the organization, and really couldn't do what we do without the incredible staff of folks that work at the Earl Baum Center. So we help people transform their lives as far as embracing the vision loss, and we do that in a number of ways. When you do lose one of your senses, and it's an emotional transition time, and you need support. You need help, and so call the Eurobomb Center, and we will help you go through that transition process. There is a process as far as getting individual counseling services and connecting with low vision eye specialists that can help do an assessment of your eye situation and how do you enhance the remaining vision you have. And so the first thing is a phone call to the Eurobomb Center, and we also provide full gamut of training, so how to use a computer when you have either no vision or limited vision. There's all kinds of software. You have to learn. It's a whole new way of living, and you have to be able to embrace all that.
I can only imagine. The Eurobomb Center, and by the way, it's EARLEBAUM, the Eurobomb Center of the Blind, a nonprofit regional community center here in Santa Rosa, serving folks with sight loss in Sonoma, Napa, Lake, and Mendocino counties. And you guys have been around how long?
We just celebrated last fall our 20th year celebration, and it was had over 350 folks come to our campus, a different way of living at that time.
I remember
versus
that.
Versus the COVID-19 time.
And
you know, Bob, I was actually one of those clients that made that phone call to the Eurobomb Center back in 2005 and learned all the computer skills I would need from Jeff Harrington, who's one of your technology specialists.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm just honored to serve on the board of such a great organization. It's a great give back for me. I love it.
All right. One of you guys or both of you guys, and I don't want to bring this up necessarily, but I'm going to.
Okay.
The classic Eurobomb concerts that were going on for so many years that were so cool, and I'm a big Americana fan, and it was mostly Americana artists and such. And it's been a while since you guys have been with us, but what were the reasons again?
So probably like any event or any venue, everything has a shelf life. And so we ran the course for about 10 years of having the Earl Fest and brought a great number of folks to our campus.
Oh, it's amazing.
And it was, 750 to 1,000 folks would attend. Tremendous amount of work to put on for a smaller organization. But also there was no real connectivity to the mission of the Eurobomb Center.
Yeah.
It was a great music experience, but but not so much mission-driven. And being a nonprofit, you have to be focused on the mission.
I understand.
Yeah.
Hobie. Oh, Hobie.
Hello.
What's the latest at the Eurobomb Center during all this craziness? What's going on over there?
Well, what I see is really amazing efforts from our staff. As Bob pointed out, a lot of our specialists being just as busy as ever before, leading whether they be support groups led by our support staff, all the way to computer trainings on Zoom, even ukulele classes, and even Braille classes. They're teaching Braille online, which is pretty impressive, just by talking about dot position and the Braille code. And really, I don't know how they do it, but they do it very well, and the clients are happy. And you know what makes us happy is that we're able to continue engaging with our clients and continue providing them with the support that they need. And also with someone to talk to. You know, a lot of our clients live alone and might be at the age where they really are staying in self-isolation. And, it's nice when we can have a bit of a conversation with someone and add to their day a little bit. So I'm so proud to be a board member of this organization, and so proud of how the staff, including Bob, have just stepped up and hit a grand slam here, even though there's no one watching because can't really do that sport now.
One of the reasons I had to ask Bob and Hobie to come in, so as soon as this pandemic and the shelter-in-place hit, I thought about my blind friends over at the Eurobomb Center, and Dr. Hobie, of course, with his sensory taste of smell, senses that he relies so heavily on, but also all blind people actually have to rely on other senses. and touching. So suddenly they're told, all of us were told, don't touch this, the stoplight signs, don't touch the rail. Right. And, I was thinking about you guys. And also, of course, with beer, if you lost your sense of smell, that's your job. I mean, it would be, for me, if I lost mine, it would be awful because I'm a beer judge, and I know you are as well. So I was thinking about you guys. And then also, you guys are going to be doing a fundraiser since you can't do your, any events, $20 for 2020. Of course, 2020 Vision, the year 2020, and
exactly.
I wanted to talk to you guys about that. What's it like being blind in a pandemic?
So it adds a whole new dimension that the sighted world maybe doesn't necessarily understand or embrace. But
of course,
it social distancing. So if Hobie, you told me this great story about walking on a sidewalk and people asking you to keep a safe distance. Well, that doesn't really help when you can't see at all. So it's a whole learning experience.
Well, they don't ask. They just freak out when you get in their way. And, it's funny. You'd think that someone would say, okay, here comes a person with a white cane or a dog. You're coming up on me.
Yeah.
What people do is that knee-jerk reaction is just to kind of scream a little bit. Oh, get out of my way. So it's a funny experience that we're all just sort of getting used to. The other thing that I might say about being blind during a pandemic like this, I get out and walk plenty, but I know a lot of folks don't necessarily, they're really trying to shelter in place and really not touch anything. So we learned to cross streets and walk in a straight line when crossing streets and learn to listen to traffic. And just like anything you learn, you got to keep it up to keep good at it. And I think a lot of us feel like we're getting a little bit out of practice. That's kind of scary.
And public transportation, too. You guys rely really heavily on it. And that was, a lot of it was shut down, and Uber and Lyft.
The demographics that we serve, a lot of the folks that come to the Earl Baum Center have what's known as macular degeneration, and usually impacts folks at the older age bracket as far as demographics go, because I'm in that group. So mature is the word we're going to use today.
I'm right with you there, Bob.
you have to feel comfortable how you're getting to the Earl Baum Center and using public transportation, paratransit. It's a safety issue. It's a comfort level. And one of the amazing things about the Earl Baum Center is during this pandemic is we haven't lost a beat. We have been, everyone's working full time. We've been able to do everything remotely, one-on-one, video conferencing,
cooking
cooking classes, Braille. How we teach Braille is beyond belief, I think. It's pretty incredible to do that video conference or over the phone. And having those support groups, we even have an O&M group support group class that we've just started.
What does that mean?
So when you learn O&M, orientation mobility, how to use a white cane, there's physical physicality to it, but there's also a lot of understanding theory as far as being able to, like Hobie, you mentioned flow of traffic. You have to be able to listen to the flow of traffic and understand how that works when you're out there moving around. So
orientation mobility really is what we use to describe both becoming oriented with one's surroundings and then being ambulatory and mobile within those surroundings. So the acronym Orientation Mobility, or O&M, was created in the 1940s or 50s to describe the process by which blind and visually impaired people learn to travel.
So what did you guys do for, like food and beer, those necessities? We're drinking a Russian River Happy Ops IPA right now. I didn't get a chance to run out and get the blind pig like you asked me to, Hobie, which I do appreciate your sense of humor.
They named a beer after me. Thank you. Thank you, Vinny and Natalie.
Yeah, right on.
So what did you do for, and then were you still doing your beer sensory classes, like on video or online, or what did you do?
I actually haven't done too much with the beer industry virtually at this point, but I've done some work with several wineries, helping them out with virtual events and this sort of thing, just to really, help them see a new group of people. And ultimately, what's interesting, at least in the wine and beer industry, is a lot of people are seeing the same sales direct to consumer that they did, just in a different way, online.
Mm-hmm.
What did I do for food? Well, I love to cook. I'm an amateur chef with a big green egg in the backyard. So we've been smoking up a storm, and just really coming up with some new recipes and really having fun with it. And I'm sure drinking our fair share, you know.
How do you barbecue kind of when you're pandemic. Blind? That's what I want to know, too.
It's touch. Not that hard. It's touch and smell.
Yeah, I've barbecued really... when I was blind drunk, but that's... so of many of our listeners, that's a whole different story. Hobie, talk about, and we don't have much time, but talk about what it is you do. Explain to people Dr. Hobie Wedler and these tastings and the whole thing that you do. You've come in here in the past with blindfolds, and we've done blind tastings. And, of course, you've been blind since birth, and we put these masks on and try and taste along with you. But explain what it is you do in that realm.
In that realm, that's one of the things that we do customarily, and really when we take away one's sense of eyesight. By the way, I like to talk about eyesight loss instead of vision loss because I think all of us have vision. Some of us might not have eyesight. When we take
Amen,
away one's
sir.
Sense,
that was a good line, Mike. Make a T-shirt for us.
That's going on my Twitter.
Yeah, no, it's fun because we when you take away a sense that's used so often to obtain information from our surroundings, the others become a little bit heightened. And I'm not talking about no one becomes daredevil when they put a blindfold on, but they're really able to focus their mind in a little bit sharper on what's going on around them, the conversation, what they're feeling around them, what they might the smell and flavor of what they might have in the glass before them, and it really creates a wonderful way to think about and maybe even better understand the flavors of foods and beverages. So we've done these tastings across a wide array of wine, beer, and spirits, worked with food, and actually done these as sort of an eye-opening experience, pardon the pun, for anywhere from small groups.
That was a good pun, Hobie.
To large corporations, you know. So we do these all over the place, and they've been very successful in just getting people thinking differently. And my goal is not to change the way people enjoy whatever it is they like to enjoy. It's really just to get them to hone their attention a little bit and think about it differently and have a new and unique life experience that hopefully they'll remember for a long time.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Thank you so much.
Once all this crap breaks down again and we can get you into the studio, I look forward to seeing you again. And you look forward to hearing me again.
Steve, I'd just like to mention once again, because one of the things, being working remotely and working with a team and getting support from the community, and I think a great way to shout out for the Earl Baum Center going forward is with our 2020 campaign. So if folks can go to our website, earlbaum.org, and donate $20 to help support vision loss in 2020. That would be fabulous. Earl Baum would thank you very much. And all the folks that we help on a daily basis would say thank you very much.
So, I may have said earlier earlbaum.com, but it is earlbaum.org. EARLEBAUM, the Earl Baum Center for the Blind. I'm about to can
to get, donate.
Oh, go ahead, quick.
A couple of donate buttons, one large one in the center of the page and one in the upper right-hand corner.
Okay, yeah. Help them out. Donate. And now I've got 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I put the link on the Facebook page.
Bob Sonnenberg and Dr. Hobie Wedler, Earl Baum Center. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Hobie.